You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Be seated. So this morning, I want to come to you from our epistle for today, which is Galatians 5, verse 1, and then verses 13 through 25. So here in Galatians 5, Paul writes, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so there can be no misinterpretation of what Paul is saying to us here in Galatians about this general term of sexual immorality. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, he's even more specific. He says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor those who are habitually drunk, nor verbal abusers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God." And so if we go back to Galatians verse 22, we see the opposition to all those fruits of the world that Paul just described to us. And we see the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. So Paul says a lot there. I think it's very clear. I know that in our humanness, sometimes we like to interpret the parts of the Bible that we like, and we leave those that go against our personal narratives alone. We just choose not to read those. Well, that's not the way Scripture works. Galatians 5, Paul discusses justification by faith and its application to your life. Just so we're clear, justification is a Wesleyan term for saving grace. Saving grace by faith and its application in your life. That's what Paul is talking about here. And he opens the chapter with this statement, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject to a yoke of slavery." So we have to think about what Paul's trying to say to us. From what exactly does Christ set you free? Well, first of all, Christ frees you from the bondage of sin. And secondly, Christ frees us from the bondage of the law. Why is that? Because Christ came and fulfilled the law, fully living up to the terms of the old covenant and keeping every letter of it perfectly without sin. Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. God doesn't want us to follow him out of a sense of duty. God doesn't want to make it so that we can have no choice but to follow him. He wants you to have free will, and so he created you that way. He gave us free will, allowing us to choose the law if we want to. But the thing is, if we go that way, we have to keep the whole law, not just the parts that suit us. If we break only one part of the law under God's perfect justice, then we have broken the whole law. You see how that works? I think you can see that it's a human impossibility to be justified in the old law covenant. We aren't built that way. We've had a whole lot more practice being sinners in the world than we have saints. But by embracing instead the new covenant through Jesus Christ, we are justified, we are saved, and in so doing, we fulfill the whole law. See, that's a pretty good deal. All we have to do is say yes to Jesus, who's already fulfilled the law, and by default, by our choice for Jesus, we fulfill the whole law. So you can see there are really two paths that you can choose. You can seek to be justified by the law, the consequence of which is being severed, cut off from Christ, or you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith in Christ, wait for the hope, and by hope I mean certainty, surety, the hope of righteousness. And so I encourage you to choose wisely. There's this story I shared with Cindy in the Bible study group down in Splendora. Cindy's here. Wave at Cindy's. Hi, Cindy. She came up for fellowship and to partake in the fifth Sunday lunch, and we're glad to have Cindy here for us. She preached a heck of a sermon this morning down in Splendora for Laity Sunday. It is Laity Sunday. Y'all are putting me to work up here, but that's okay. We forgive Miss Melody because we love her and she's feeling poorly, and we're going to pray for her during intercessory prayer. But back to the story. Life is about, well, choices. You have choices. And it all boils down to really two things. If you're living life and you're wondering if your choices are merited, if your choices are right, it really comes down to this. life is going along, and there are two things that you have to worry about. Am I going to be healthy, or am I going to be unhealthy? If you're healthy, you got nothing to worry about. If you're unhealthy, you got two things to worry about. Am I going to get better, or am I going to get worse? Now, if you get better, you got nothing to worry about. If you get worse, two things to worry about. Am I going to live, or am I going to die? If you live, you got nothing to worry about. If you're going to die, two things to worry about. Am I going to heaven, or am I going to hell? Now, if you go to heaven, nothing to worry about. If you go to hell, two things to worry about. Regular or extra crispy. All that is a funny way of saying you have choices along this journey. God has given you free will to make choices, and we have to choose wisely. Because really it all comes down to those basic choices. Jesus or no Jesus. Heaven or hell. If you have indeed chosen wisely and are called to freedom, then you now have this responsibility to guard your freedom and increase your freedom through sanctification by the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful not to turn our freedom into an opportunity to engage in the temptations of the flesh. Just because you have the ability to choose doesn't necessarily mean that you should always choose some options. But rather, instead, you should use your freedom to serve one another in love. Galatians 5:14 says, "For the law, the whole law, is fulfilled in one word in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" You see, the word is, of course, love. You have a choice. You can love your neighbor, or you can not love your neighbor. But now that you've said yes to Jesus, now that you're on the sanctifying path, given your newfound freedom in Christ, Paul is causing us to think about how we stay on the path. Anybody ever go hiking on purpose?
Yeah.
Right? And you're walking down a path, and it's the main path, and it's got the trail markers. But then there are these little rabbit trails, right? And it's tempting to get off the main path and go down a rabbit trail. Why? Because there's adventure in the rabbit trail. Problem with rabbit trails is there's no direction. They're not marked. And so, a lot of times we get off the trail, we get off the main path, we get lost. Sometimes they have to send out a search party to find you. Other times you just have to kind of meander around until eventually you find your way back to the main path. It's a good feeling when you see a marker and know you're on the main path again. It's a bad feeling when the sun's going down and mosquitoes are starting to bite and you know you're going to be spending the night wandering around in the woods. Choices. And so now we have to stay on the path. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." See, if we choose to walk on the main path of the Spirit, then we won't get lost on the rabbit trails of life. How do you know if you're being led by the Spirit? That's a good question, isn't it? If I'm walking by the Spirit, I don't desire the things of the flesh, which are evident according to Galatians 5:19. But more than that, if I walk by the Spirit, I'm not bound by the law at all. And what's more, I know I'm in the Spirit because I produce fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. See, if we belong to Jesus Christ, if we live by the Spirit, we are justified, saved, and sanctified. That is, we are saved through Christ and made increasingly Christ-like by the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:24 and 5:25 confirm this for us. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. See, when we choose Jesus, we've become divorced from the dominion, that is the power of the sinful nature. By our new identity with and participation in Christ's death and resurrection, we have power over the sinful nature. Did you know that? You don't have to be a sinner. I know we're all born into sin, but your free will allows you to choose not to sin. The old self passes away and a new life is born through Jesus. And so you need to ask yourself, have I been reborn in Christ? How do I know? Well, do I see in my own life evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do I see my life as one filled with loving others, as one filled with joy, not happiness, right? Happiness happens. Joy is a choice. Is my life peaceful? Do I possess the Holy Spirit gift of patience? Do I have the gift of kindness, goodness? Am I producing fruit that other people can see in my life? Is my spirit gentle? Do I have self-control? Or do I fly off the handle at the smallest thing? Those gifts of the Spirit, those fruits of the Spirit, aren't governed by the law. These are things, these are gifts from God. See, it's clear in Paul's writings that we should keep the main thing the main thing. And what I mean by that is we need to identify what is sin, and then choose the wiser path of the Holy Spirit instead. Now, when I say identify sin, I don't mean dwell on it or in it. I mean, just know what it is that displeases your Abba Father in heaven. You need to know what not to do, which is why the law, by the way, the Ten Commandments, is a bunch of thou shalt nots, right? You need to know what the benchmark is. You need to identify what is sin, but don't dwell on it and don't live in it. Because, you see, those that want to perpetuate the sin, and you'll find this to be true, look at anything that goes against the Word of God and those that want to continue in it. Those that want to perpetuate the sin want us all to spend our time and energy debating the sin, talking about the sin, parading down Main Street for the sin, being tolerant of the sin, being accepting of the sin. You see how they like to engage you in their narrative, in their sin? We used to call that a denomination of abomination. I think we still do. At one time, we've all been down the destructive path, but then we found Jesus and said yes to him, right? And once we found Jesus and were justified, saved, we set out on the sanctifying journey and we made up our minds, we used our free will and made the choice that we are not going back ever. We're not going to celebrate the sin. We're not going to participate in the sin. We're just not going to do the sin at all. We're not going to continue to mull over the sin as if there were any question as to whether or not it's really a sin or not. That's ridiculous. Paul says it's ridiculous. Paul left no room for that to even be debatable. It's a sin, period. Just like all the sins listed there in Galatians, it's sinful. Get over yourself. Call it sin. Move on, church. Don't indulge the devil's playground for another second longer. Call it bad, which is what it is. Move forward into the light, into the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which Paul tells us is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yes, self-control. You have the Holy Spirit power over your own choices. And there's no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with all its human passions and desires. Christ has set us free for the sake of freedom. Therefore, stand firm and don't submit to the bondage of sin slavery ever again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.